First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. Week 2 of the NFL season coming up. As always, my buddy, Cousin Sal, Sal Iacono from Jimmy Kimmel Live is going to come in. We're going to try to guess the lines. Now, he actually guessed the lines first, and I'm going to guess them right now. He's going to tell me how he did as I'm doing it, and we'll see who does better. I won last week. Sal, are you ready for some retribution this week?
I am ready. Hold on. I got stuck here. My trying to pull my Bernard Pollard jersey over my head. Okay, it's on now.
That was prepared material, I think.
No, I really have it. Number 13. No.
You had it? Did you think that was a cheap play?
I would get it. It's just all sold out. I mean, record setting. No, I didn't think so. I got to tell you, I'm surprised that doesn't happen three times a game, just the way a player could lunge forward
right
as the quarterback releases the ball. And he seemed like a nice enough guy that felt bad enough. But why, you thought it was cheap?
No, I agree with you. I think he seemed like a nice guy, and he felt bad about it. I don't think it was a dirty hit, but I just think it's not – I don't think those hits should be allowed. I don't think – you can't really blame him, but I don't – when the quarterback is just standing still like that, I don't think anybody should be allowed to dive at his knees because this is going to happen like 2-3 times a year.
Yeah, it's you know? Rough. That's right.
The quarterback should be moving a little bit if he can go for his knees.
It's like, well, I mean, this is just has nothing to do with anyone else, but it's like when a basketball player comes down on his ankle and twists it. Like, oh, why doesn't that happen 45 times a game?
I know.
Well, especially when these guys, you have six guys sometimes going after the quarterback for how many, 45 plays or whatever. It should just happen a lot more.
It's
a shame. But
I remember last year when, you know, once they got to like 8-0, 9-0, 10-0, every time somebody was rolling around near Brady, I was petrified because that was the thing that was going to sink the undefeated season. I agree. I don't understand why this injury doesn't happen all the time. I don't see how more guys aren't like temporarily paralyzed or like it just seems like I even watched like 3 or 4 plays this weekend where like there's a special teams fumble and two guys die for it and they hit head on like and nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, I'm still depressed.
Let's just hope. No, I know. You're depressed, but guys who don't root for the Patriots are going to be even more depressed than their undefeated regular season when Matt Cassel leads into a 14-2 record.
I hope you're right. I can't say I have a lot of confidence in Cassel. You know, everybody was talking about the whole Patriots, everybody is expendable. The next guy has to just step in. That's how we do it. But this whole team was built around the premise that Brady was never going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, they never, ever paid for a backup quarterback, ever.
Yeah.
It was always like minimum wage guys. And, you know, I think this was the one scenario where they were like, if he gets hurt, we're screwed.
Do you think this is karma for running up the score and videotaping and putting Brady on the IR every year, even though he can't find a hangnail on the guy?
It's not karma for the videotaping because I still am of the belief that all the teams cheat.
Right.
But the FUTDs...
Yeah.
You know, you just knew. You knew there was going to be retribution in some form. But to have it happen 8 minutes in the season was even a little cruel.
That is awful.
I think football fans are going to be bummed out that this happened eventually because when they're watching a Monday night game and it's Matt Cassell instead of Tom Brady, it's just not as compelling.
Yeah.
You know?
Peter King did point out, like, the two matchups against Favre would have been great. And, you know,
yeah. I don't see how this is a good thing to make one of the most interesting teams in the league not as interesting. Like, whether you liked them or you didn't like them, at least it was fun to have them in the league. Like, you could root for them or against them. But
yeah.
Anyway, let's hit the lines.
Well, the poor bastard's probably nude sunbathing with Giselle in St. Bart's right now for like 3 months, so let's not feel too bad.
Yeah, he's gotten like 48 different opinions in 2 days on his knee.
Is it really?
I'm a little worried that they haven't released exactly what the damage is. Like, you know, even yesterday they were a little elusive about what was it, a torn ACL, what was it? And it, you know, after watching Sean Livingston miss the last 2 years, that, you know, nobody's really talked about this, but what if every ligament in his knee was torn? Like, we just don't know. Nobody's telling us anything.
No. Well, anyway, do they still win the division? What do you think?
I still think they win 10 games.
They'll go 10-6 at least, right?
I will say this. I do not think Matt Cassel will be the quarterback by Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yeah, I think they have something up their sleeve. And I don't know whether it's Vinny Testaverde or Culpepper or whether they really like this rookie quarterback they drafted, but it's a little suspicious that they canceled those two workouts with Sims and Rite, I think.
You know, it is and it isn't. And, like, you had to, like, 15 minutes after this happened, I think you thought, like, they could bring Culpepper in, the Culpepper-Moss thing. And they're like, that's how teams would think, I think. Like, sure, that would make sense. But I think it's part of the Patriots' arrogance. Like, look what we're going to do to you with this guy who backed up a guy who doesn't even start in the NFL anymore. Like,
yeah, it's true.
I could see them getting it done. I really can.
Well, I thought the most telling thing to me about Sunday's game is in the fourth quarter when the Chiefs realized that they just weren't going to take any chances with Cassel. That they just stacked the line. They put 9 guys up there, and they were daring the Patriots to do play action, do whatever, make him throw, and the Pats were just like, you know what? We're just going to keep running it, and we'll let the defense win this game. Yeah. So the fact that they didn't trust him at all makes me nervous.
Anyway, well, let's do the lines. Whole week of practice now behind him. And, you know, the great cheaters find a way to bounce back. You know
Stop
that.
Stop it. He has a full week of practice, but he also has a full week to get nervous.
Yeah.
You know, this is New York Jets, well, Meadowlands.
Right, what do you think? What do you think this line is?
You want to do that one first?
Yeah, let's do it first. Jets and Patriots.
You know what scares me is I've spent an inordinate amount of time wondering what this line would be. Mm-hmm. And really, I'd believe anything within about an 8-point swing.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time, too, and it didn't mean that I was anywhere closer than 4 points off.
I said Pats by 3.5.
All right, I said Pats by 2, and it's Jets by 2.5.
Whoa! Shocking.
Crazy. It's crazy to me.
I would have believed Pats by 6. I would have believed Jets by 4. Like, that's how far my swing was.
Let me ask you this. If Pennington converts on that fourth down and the Jets lose to the Dolphins, are they still favored in this game by almost a field goal?
What about if the Dolphins had, what was it, first and 10? From the 18 with 23 seconds left.
Yeah. There are plenty of chances to win that game.
And somehow didn't get one play near the end zone that looked like it might happen.
I don't know.
But yeah,
I think
that was...
Vegas is going to like try to convince us that the Jets are the pick by the end of the week, and we're all going to look stupid, and the Patriots are going to win like 24-10 or something.
Well, this happened in 2003 and 2004. Like, you know, when the remember when Troy Brown was, like, playing cornerback and, like, that year, and everybody was like, no way they could do it, no way. And, like, the Pats just thrive on this. This is – they're kind of back to where they used to be in terms of nobody believes in us.
Right.
Everybody's got to step up. I wrote this today. I feel like the Brady offense kind of moved them away from that a little bit, and it became the Tom Brady show and not what we watched for 5 years.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of the Tom Brady show, here's what I think he should do, by the way. In this year he has off, he should steal Jessica Simpson away from Tony Romo. And you know I love the Cowboys and Tony Romo, but what a great comeback that would be if they met next year's Super Bowl after he stole his girl away because Romo wasn't able to pay enough attention to her and the whole Giselle thing and everything.
That's interesting. So, and he'd have, would you do it this season or would you do it so with the aim for 2009?
Yeah, maybe wait a little. You don't want to seem desperate. Maybe wait till December or January, just enough to screw Romo up for the first playoff game again.
Well, I'm worried, like, if this was a movie, Giselle probably splits in about a month.
Oh, that's right.
And then, you know, Brady, it's like you have the sad montage scene of Brady on crutches with his kid in the park, like, wondering what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little worried about that. I don't want to see his whole life cave in.
Yeah, next thing you know, he's making a cameo on The Hills.
How does it feel to have – yeah, The Hills could happen. How does it feel to have the best quarterback in football?
It feels –
Tony Romo.
And it's felt good for the last year now.
Oh.
He's great, and he reminded me a lot of Brady against the Browns. And we don't know how good the Browns are, and they're probably lousy. At least their secondary was supposed to be going in. But just the way he was hopping around in that pocket, just very reminiscent of Tom Brady.
Cocky. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Like, very confident, cocky. I think after watching Manning move around like 2000 Dan Marino, 1990, what was Dan Marino's last year? 98?
Around there, I think.
Yeah. He looked like Marino in the last couple of years, the way he was like, just has no, it doesn't have that lateral movement anymore. I don't know if it's his knee or he's just getting old, but, you'd have to put Romo 1, Aaron Rodgers 2.
Wow.
Tavares Jackson 3. I think Romo, Roethlisberger, and Cutler. It seems like it's a new generation of QBs that's moving.
Maybe Breeze up there a little too.
Yeah, maybe Breeze.
Palmer has moved out, I would say for sure.
Palmer, oh my God! Did you guys have that game on at Jimmy's?
What a disaster! No, we didn't have that on.
First of all, they didn't score a touchdown.
Yeah,
the Bengals.
What happens to these teams that are getting beat so bad, like the Rams and Bengals, and their receivers can't even put up good fantasy numbers when they're coming back? Like, that's not how it used to be.
Well, then you have, you know, I had the second pick in our West Coast draft because Tom Brady's injury killed my team in week one.
Yeah.
And you have the Rams, who literally nobody knows who their receivers are this week. Like, even Mike Holmgren doesn't know. And then you have, I mean, not the Rams, the Seahawks, I meant. And then you have the Rams, who I guess their number two receiver is Dane Looker?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? And then yesterday watching the Broncos, I picked the Raiders because they didn't have, you know, no Brandon Marshall in the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And this Eddie Royal guy comes out of nowhere, and somehow somebody had him in our league.
Yeah.
How do you pick Eddie Royal in our league?
I have him in my other league. I think he had a pretty good preseason. I might be wrong, but he may have had 2 touchdowns in the preseason.
Really?
And when Marshall comes back, it could all be very different. But
all right, let's keep doing the lines.
All right, yeah, we are doing lines. All right, so I won that one, New England at the Jets, although I'm not proud of being off by 5 points. Oakland at Kansas City.
You know, I totally missed the Jamarcus Russell. He is awful. Mm. He is horrendous.
Yeah.
And I actually like, you know, Brody Croyle's terrible. Damon Heward's like, he's also terrible, but he's functionally terrible. Like, I felt like the Chiefs came back a little when he came in and actually had a chance to win. So,
well,
I'm going to say...
When we were watching Hard Knocks last year, I think we all thought, like, Damon Heward was probably the better choice. But
yeah. Brody didn't show...
The Chiefs make.
Well, he didn't show anything other than his girlfriend was hot. I'm going to say Chiefs by 3.5.
That's what I said, and it's 4. So
damn it.
With that one.
All right.
Yeah, this doesn't make the big screen or any screen, even at Best Buy. But
it's awful.
Yeah. All right.
Oakland is. You could not look worse.
Mm-hmm.
In every capacity, they look terrible. And I had actually forgotten about the whole. I'm kind of mad. I'd forgotten about the whole. Al Davis tried to fire Lane Kiffin, and Lane Kiffin wanted to fire the defensive coordinator. And now they're all back, but they don't talk. And
oh,
not good.
Miserable. The spiked helmets and everything else, the tears and falling asleep on their wives. What a scene that was.
It's not a fan base you want to be miserable because really, like, violence could ensue.
How has no one killed Al Davis yet?
That's interesting. Interesting.
Chicago or Carolina?
Kind of like both of these teams last week.
Yeah. This is the class of the league, isn't it? Since the NFC has.
Oh, by the way, you have an apology for our listeners.
Why? What now?
You're Richard Nixon's nickname was? That's you.
What do you mean?
All right, so we do our whole fantasy preview. We talk about sleepers. You stay mum on Matt Forte, knowing that people would listen to us. And then in our fantasy draft, in like the 10th round, you took Matt Forte. You're all happy about it. And then you email me that the weekend before week one, and you say, hey, let's do a rookie of the year future. I love Matt Forte at 10-1. Where was this in the podcast? What the hell?
I don't listen. God forbid I try to win this league once after 20 years.
So we have a fantasy football preview, and you keep sleepers in your pocket?
All right, you know, let's do it again. But you have nothing to talk about. You were talking everyone off Tom Brady, obviously, before he got hurt, and then you snatch him up at the 5th pick. So what are you talking about?
No, it's 6th pick. But what was I going to do? I wasn't going to take Marion Barber 6.
You should have taken Michael Turner, the greatest running back in the league.
What I should have done was stick to my guns and take Romo, who I knew was going to have the best season of any quarterback this year.
Yeah. If Romo had Manning's name, he might have been like the first or second pick.
Yeah. All right. What's
all right,
the next
I apologize.
One?
Fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Chicago or Carolina?
I said Carolina by 4.
All right, you get that, because I said 5 and it's 3.
Because no Steve Smith, probably.
I thought, yeah, that's true. I just thought they'd get a little more respect.
Jake's back. Nobody's talking me out of Jake being back.
Yeah. Now, is the line higher if the backup tight end, Rosario, doesn't catch that last-second prayer, or is it lower?
I think it's the same, because if the Chargers had won that game, that would have been such a garbage win. Like, the Panthers totally dominated that game, and that would have been a terrible loss. So,
yeah. You know, I think Peter King made Jake Delhomme the offensive player of the week. Did you watch the end of that game, like the last drive, the Panthers?
Yeah.
Wasn't that a crazy clock management? They were stuck with a timeout, right?
Look, I don't know how many times we can complain about the clock management. How about Jim Zorn in the Washington Giants game?
Stupid.
Reenacting the Eagles' Super Bowl drive against the Pats. When the 8-minute, 2-minute drive.
Yeah, it's awful.
I don't understand why these teams don't understand what to do when they're down by 2 scores with 3 minutes left. You have to get a field goal and a touchdown anyway. Hey, I've been writing about this for 8 years. I just don't get it.
Jim Zorn better get very used to being down 2 scores with 8 minutes left. I think he's going to figure it out somewhere along the line. These teams,
they get to the 30-yard line, and then they start throwing like pseudo-Hail Marys into the end zone where they should just be kicking the field goal and trying to get the ball back.
Yeah, you're right.
Right,
it's never going to end. Giants at St. Louis.
Ugh. Looks like the schedule broke for the Giants.
Yeah, really. They're going to be 2-0.
I'm going to say Giants by 8.
That's what I said, and it's 9.
All right. So, fair enough.
That one. New Orleans at Washington.
That was the best game I watched on Sunday, was New Orleans-Tampa Bay. In terms of both of those teams look like playoff teams to me.
Yeah, all those South teams could be 9-7. Not the South, but they could be 9-7. They'll be good teams. I'd be afraid to play any of those three. New Orleans.
I'm not sold on Atlanta though. I just think Detroit stinks. I don't see that running game doing that again.
Probably. But,
so what was this game again?
New Orleans at Washington.
I'm gonna say New Orleans by 1.
All right, you get that. I said New Orleans by 2. Washington's actually giving 1 at home after that pathetic performance.
That's ridiculous.
Last Thursday night.
That team's terrible.
Yeah. On the other hand, is Vegas just going to let people bet New Orleans and win every week with these low spreads? That might be a trap game. Let's stay away.
Yeah, New Orleans on the road hasn't exactly been reliable.
Mm-hmm. Green Bay at Detroit, another trap game, I think.
Yeah, you can't look worse than Detroit did. Detroit, two teams look like they're ready to quit on their coach, Detroit and St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly Cleveland, although it's unclear if they know their coach is alive. So I'm afraid to put that. Did you see him during that Dallas game? I don't think he moved.
Kicking the field goal down 3 touchdowns?
I don't think he really moved for like 2 quarters.
No. Speaking of moving, he better not be buying a house anytime soon or as much as a stereo system. He really could be sent as walking paper.
You know what? I don't think any coaches were fired during the season last year. And this year, I think we're going to see 3.
Yeah.
But so this was who
Green
at Detroit?
Green Bay at Detroit.
Green Bay at Detroit. I like Rodgers. He confirmed my belief that as long as he didn't crap on himself last night, he was going to be good. Green Bay by 6.
Whoa. I said Green Bay 3.5. It's 3. So I win that one. Well, that's what I mean. That's got to be a trap game, right? You can't.
You mean, you know what? You're right.
Detroit there. Who's
coming off the emotional Monday night win, then they go to Detroit. They're supposed to win. Yeah, I can see that.
I'm at least staying away. I might take Detroit in there.
It's a stay away.
Buffalo at Jacksonville.
I liked what I saw from Buffalo. Jacksonville looks like they just might be that team that everybody, including myself, thought was going to be really good, and then everything goes wrong.
They have a fit against Tennessee every time.
Well, they lost both of their guards. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's worse to lose guards than tackles because you basically can't run at all when you lose your guards.
No, I'm not jumping on the Bills bandwagon just yet. But what?
I'm not either. I'm just saying. Jacksonville by 3.5.
Oh, see? I said 5.5 at 6.
That's too high.
This is my teaser game, though. This is one of my two-team teaser games where we can knock 6 points off.
I gotta say, I didn't like what I saw from Jacksonville at all.
Really? All right.
Yeah, I thought Tennessee dominated that game, and if Vince Young didn't give them an F quadruple minus, they win by 20 points.
Well, Jacksonville seemed like they had the ball every single time I watched, but I'd be surprised if they didn't win.
But never moving the chains, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tennessee would just shut them down completely, and then Vince would do something dumb again. Like it was bad.
Yeah. All right, Indy at Minnesota. Good game.
Nice game. I really don't think Indy's very good. Like they might be good 2 months from now, but doesn't seem like they can block. Manning seems screwed up.
It's a tough one. I hate it. I hate trying to pick this game, though. And I have a feeling, though, by the end of the week, I'll have a very strong opinion on one of these teams.
Well, Vegas is always going to overrate Indy, so I'm going to say Indy by 3.
Well, that's a good call. Indy by 2.5.
Yeah.
I thought Minnesota would be favored by 1. But that's a good call. Let me ask you, Westbrook for Peterson. Our friend Hatch is going nuts because had he taken Westbrook over Peterson...
He would have won
this
week?
We traded the 2-4 pick. He would have won. He would have beat me this week.
I thought that was a great trade by you.
Thank you.
I would have rather had Westbrook than Peterson. And after watching Tavares last night.
Oh, is he bad?
I don't see how Peterson should ever rush for over 100 yards in a game.
Like, and he had 100 yards, but there was such tough yards. You know?
Yeah.
You know just how to play him and stack up against him.
Well, and also these guys who run upright when they have four guys hitting him every time, eventually they get hurt.
Yep.
Like, I don't think he's built to endure a 16-game season getting hit by four guys every carry.
Not even an 11-game season in college.
Right.
He couldn't endure. Tennessee at Cincinnati. I think Collins gets a start here, right?
I left the Bengals out of my group of teams that seems like they might be quitting on their coach. I'd like to apologize to Marv Lewis.
Well, what is he worth anymore? I mean, at least his wide receivers used to give us nice fantasy value, and now we don't even get that. That's the sign when it comes.
Well, the real story is, and this is what worries me so much about Brady, like Palmer's never been the same since that injury.
Yeah.
He's just not, I don't even think he's in the top half of the QBs anymore.
He's not even top half of USC graduate quarterbacks. Matt Castle and Leinart and Palmer.
I don't see how Cincinnati scores in this game because I thought Tennessee's D was the best thing I saw last week. I just thought they just nobody could do anything on them. I'm going to say Tennessee by 3.5.
Wow.
With Kerry Collins.
All right, I was off too, but not off by that much. I said Cincinnati by 3 because I overrated the Kerry Collins.
Ooh.
Thing. It's Cincinnati by 1. So you're going to love Tennessee. If you love them.
Yeah, I like Tennessee. I, and I'm sure I'm jinxing their season, but I think.
Sounds like that.
Because I went 6-10 this week.
San Fran at Seattle.
Oh, you know what? I think I left the San Fran coach out of my teams that might be quitting in their coach group.
Yeah.
Because they were awful, too.
But he did, at least.
I don't see how Seattle can be favored by more than 4 when they're going to have two guys who weren't even on the team a week ago starting at receiver. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say Seattle by 4.
I said 7.5, and it's 8.5. Wow, it sounds like you're going to like a lot of games.
Wait a second. So, Matt Hasselbeck, it's been established he has a bulging disc in his back.
He's hurt, yeah.
His top 4 receivers are out. He has no running back. Why would they? I don't get that.
The home field is, San Francisco, did they win a game on the road last year? Maybe they won one. And Seattle was probably 7-1.
But is Seattle better than San Francisco at this point? I mean, they're both terrible.
They were pretty lousy, San Francisco, at home against Arizona, one of the few games that could possibly win, you know.
Who looked worse than Seattle in the Buffalo game, except for the Rams?
Yeah, there were some stupid special teams things that got them out of that game early. But I know what you're saying. It probably shouldn't be so high. Atlanta, Tampa Bay. It's another one.
Tampa by 7.
Tampa by 7 is what I said, and it's 9. That's pretty high too.
Matt Ryan on the road.
Yeah, they have to throw everything at that guy, right? His blitzing
schemes
and
yeah.
Maybe Michael Turner doesn't rush for 400 yards this week. We all passed on Michael Turner as our second running back.
Yep.
All 9 of us.
All of us.
Well, 10 of us. We did New England at the Jets, San Diego at Denver.
I wasn't impressed by San Diego. I was very impressed by Denver, although it's hard to tell how bad Oakland was and how much it had to do with that. But I'm going to say pick them.
All right, that's pretty good. You win that one then. I said Denver by 3, and it's San Diego by 2.
Yeah, they're like the Colts. Vegas is going to just keep overrating them until they prove otherwise.
And especially since Denver wins this week, they'll have a 2-game lead over San Diego. They really want you to take Denver. And remember, it's an extra short week for the Broncos. They had the late game Monday. It's like going to London and then coming back.
Although it was kind of like an exhibition game, though. Was the
That's
only thing.
True. No one played at the end. I like San Diego there. Baltimore at Houston.
I didn't think Flacco was bad, I got to say.
No, I know.
He was semi-competent. I'd rather have him than Tavares Jackson.
But anyone who puts his head down and runs with the ball, and I like that more than a gutty pass to the tight end in the end zone.
Like, well, wow, it also seemed like his teammates really liked him. Like, mm-hmm. his teammates seemed to be totally sold on him and responded to him, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, but you're right. Ray Lewis, after the game, he says, I will never shoot you, I promise.
Who is the home team?
Houston. Houston's home. Houston could have a two-game lead over the Colts after this.
No, they lost last week.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They could have a one-game lead, though.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say Houston by one.
All right, I said Houston by three. It's 4.5.
Wow.
Pretty high, right?
So last week, apparently last week didn't matter at all with Vegas. Because Houston was atrocious.
Yeah, they were pretty bad.
What, they didn't do one thing well.
Your house with Flacco and Schaub?
They didn't do one thing well that I saw, but whatever.
All right, Miami at Arizona.
Arizona by six.
Such a nothing game. That's what I had, and it's 7. So let me just count them up here. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You have to win these next two to tie.
Okay.
But luckily there are no stakes at all, so don't worry too much about it. Pittsburgh at Cleveland.
I'm going to nail this one. I'm nailing it exactly. Pittsburgh by 3.5.
That's what I said, but it's 6.
Oh.
So we tie there. I think Cleveland's done and Vegas knows it.
Basically. So Vegas has given up on some teams, but not on other teams.
That's it. I'm going to kick myself, though. We could have had odds. We could have had like 3-2 odds that Pittsburgh won the division. And now it's a no-brainer, right?
Well, the question with them was their linebackers, and then the linebackers actually looked awesome.
The question was Willie Parker going to score more touchdowns in 1 week than he did all of 2007?
I know. I passed him up for Jamal Lewis, and I thought about it all day Sunday when I wasn't thinking about the fact that Brady is out for a year.
That's a killer. And Monday night, Philly at Dallas.
It's a nice game.
A good Monday night.
That is a good game.
Yeah.
Hey, dog, that is a great game. That is a huge, huge game.
Here's how great it is. Even my family respects it. I'm a big Cowboys fan, and the wife and kids are coming back from a four-day trip to Disney World, and they'll be landing somewhere in the fourth quarter of that game.
And what's going to happen?
Well, I'm just going to say, honey, just hang out in the duty-free shop for about an hour while the game finishes up. Teach the kids to smoke or something.
Why don't you have one of your family members pick them up? That's the great thing about having family nearby. Yeah. Sounds like a job for Cousin Mickey.
I know.
I'm going to say Dallas by 6.
All right, you get this one because I said 5. This game opened for 20 minutes. I checked it. It was open at halftime of the Sunday night game. It opened at 9, and now it's 7. So there was a lot of money put on Philly early on. But
it's a nice game.
It seems high, right? I'm going to stay away.
It's a nice game. Just be careful not to gloat too much about this Brady injury because you're in the same boat with your quarterback.
Why? What do you mean?
I'm just saying.
No, my guy is very careful.
I don't even know who your backup quarterback is.
The great Brad Johnson. He's a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl.
Was it Super Bowl III?
How dare you? Don't worry. I'll never see the action.
Congrats on your victory, and we'll talk to you next
week. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
To you next week.
Bye-bye.
100% off.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.